What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information that I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapy. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on your history alone. You do not have to come to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I and my guests love to answer your questions, or if you have comments, feel free to call in. The toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-270-8714. In Canada, the number is 888-228-4494. You can use only your first name if you would like, and all shows are archived. Every week I will answer the question, "What ails America?" with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet. For awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware what's actually happening in our world and all the different ways that our dear government is actually killing us, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets and the planet itself. And always remember, if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. And I want you to be uplifted, because the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this. And the once feeble calls for cease and desist are now a roaring outcry. Tonight's show is going to be What's Ailing America? Water as a Weapon of Genocide. And I am beyond thrilled to have as my special guest a reporter by the name of Janet Phelan, who back in 2004, while a columnist at the Santa Monica Daily Press in California, began to research the water weapon program. And as it turns out, as she will be explaining to us, and she has an excellent YouTube segment on this topic, is going to be delivered by remote control water valves, which are being developed and installed in your neighborhoods, folks. She made an initial request for water records, tendered at the City Hall in Santa Monica. Immediately, the machine moved into gear. Within 6 hours of her first request, she received a phone call from the editor by the name of Carolyn Zachariasen, who informed her that she had received a call from the city's attorney's office. And she was told, with some anxiety infusing the voice of this Carolyn person, that she had not authorized Janet to ask questions about water, and that she was endangering her position as editor of the Daily Press. When it became clear that this was an unresolvable issue, Janet quit in protest. God bless you, Janet. You see, I've actually found a reporter, folks, with a conscience. You can talk about miracles. We're finding lawyers with consciousness, doctors with consciousness. This is a very good sign. To Janet's amazement, she found that she had been blackballed in her field. I'm laughing. She was not able to secure other journalistic employment. In fact, she was suddenly not able to secure steady employment at all. Homeless and nearly broke, she ended up working day labor through Labor Ready and sleeping on beaches and in parks. Personal survival issues became critical, but she continued to work the water story as diligently as possible. I hope the men are listening. You know, it's really amazing. We need some men to help us take care of business here. She was not the only party involved in the water story who lost employment. Fred D'Aguilar, who had been working on the city desk of the Los Angeles Times for 15 years, had been functioning as a sounding board for Janet as she continued on with her story without the umbrella or sponsorship of a newspaper. It was Fred who had suggested the title of the original article, Public Extermination Project. And, with Fred's insistence, she sent him over the first draft of the article on this, and he brought it to the attention of his editors at the Times, and Fred was shortly thereafter let go. At last report, he was engaged in starting up his own business, which was not involved with media. The fate of a Dr. Geetha Angara also sheds light on the efforts to shut down information dissemination about water. Dr. Angara was a chemist who had been employed by the Passaic, New Jersey Water Department. Her job involved water quality testing. Shortly after the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security had come around to the plant, holding seminars and meetings, the mothers of three was murdered at work. It's funny how that happens. On February 8, 2005, after co-workers became concerned that she had been missing for several hours, her body was found dumped into a tank at the work site. She had apparently been strangled, then thrown into the tank. As is typical in cases of political murders, the police investigation has turned up no suspects. The Critical Infrastructure Information Act, passed in November of 2002, also provides a legal framework for inhibiting reports concerning water systems. Under Section 214F, this alphabet agency allows criminal penalties to be levied against government employees who release information concerning protected infrastructure. Section 214F follows. Penalties. Whoever, being an officer or employee of the United States or any department or agency thereof, knowingly publishes, divulges, discloses, or makes known in any manner, or to any extent not authorized by law, any critical infrastructure information protected from disclosure shall be fined under Title 18 of the U.S. Code, imprisoned not more than 1 year or both, and shall be removed from office or employment. Now, I just want to point out to you folks that what we're going to be talking about tonight is genocide being done under the guise of law, and it's, of course, in violation of the Nuremberg Code. And here they are writing laws to protect them from being exposed. That's what it boils down to. The act goes on to lock down other possible leaks of information on water and other infrastructure by extending sanctions to state and other government employees. You see, this is how they keep the minions that work for Big Brother in line and make sure that after they've sold their soul for cash, and, you know, get involved with these different projects, that they can keep them under complete control. A report to Congress entitled Homeland Security Act of 2002, Critical Infrastructure Information Act, goes into some depth as to the problem posed by the whistleblower protection laws. It is the conclusion of the author of this report, Gina Marie Stevens, legislative attorney, American Law Division, that the Whistleblower Protection Act would not protect a government employee from criminal sanctions under the CIIA. Jana has received a number of queries as to why no employees of government agencies have come forward to reveal the existence of the water weapon. And obviously, it's because such activity may result in criminal prosecution, loss of job, or death. Through presidential proclamation, the U.S. Water Resources Council was granted certain presidential powers. Executive Order 11747 reads as follows. The chairman of the Water Resources Council is designated and empowered to exercise, without the approval, ratification, or other action of the president, the approval function for standards and procedures vested in the president by Section 103 of the Water Resources Planning Act, as amended under 42 of the United States Code, Section 42. And this U.S. Water Resources Council deserves special attention because folded into the Office of Management and Budget in 1981, its original composition included federal heavyweights, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of the Army, the Secretary of Commerce, the Secretary of Energy, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, the Secretary of the Interior, the Secretary of Transportation, and the Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. While the functions of the U.S. Water Resources Council, as stated in 701.4, appear to be benign, you know, it's really funny how they can, you know, show us right before our eyes what they're doing, but make it sound like it's okay. A careful review of their activities reveals a more sinister aspect. Section 701.301 indicates that the U.S. Water Resources Council was collecting records on citizens of the United States. These records include any item, collection, or grouping of information about an individual that is maintained by the council, including but not limited to his education, financial transactions, medical history, criminal or employment history, and that contains his name or identifying number, symbol, or other identifying particular assigned to the individual, such as a finger or voice print or a photograph. Now, these are records being collected by the United States Water Council. Isn't that amazing? So, Janet, welcome to the show. You had sent me some very important blueprints that I was not able to send out to my list because I don't know how to send out attachments yet. But anyways, I'm hoping that you'll give them a website that they can do some of these things. But I take my hat off to you. I never thought I would find a reporter that would be willing to do what you're doing. And this is just a wonderful sign that there are people in all areas with a conscience. And as we all come out and expose what our various places that we've been working for, myself in the medical establishment, yourself in the media, as I said, I've even had an attorney on the show who was exposing what's really going on, it's going to make the people realize they have to get off the couch, they have to wake up, and they have to take care of business. Because apparently what's happening is that they're actually using air, water, food, and our immune system to kill us. We have chemtrails being sprayed on us in the air. We have what you're going to be talking on in the water, and I'm hoping somebody else will call in to talk about some information that he had found in Florida about a very special chemical being used in food coloring many years ago that they were going to be killing people with, and now, of course, you've found out how they're going to deliver it. We have genetically engineered, pesticided, radiated food and food being made into vaccines being forced on the public. And, of course, my thing is the inoculation of disease, which is destroying the immune system. So why are they doing this, Janet? And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Carley. People have asked me over and over when they read my work, a very common question is, well, why do they want to kill us? And to answer that question, I think you really need to have the mind of a murderer. You need to have the mind of a sociopath. And I cannot answer that question. My general response to that is, well, why did Adolf Hitler kill people? The people in power at this point in time are not the same ilk as us. They are the statement that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely is what we are seeing.
Yeah.
We are seeing people who have amassed an enormous amount of wealth can buy, you know, any toy they want to, really. I mean, any Lexus, any Mercedes, any little airplane, any house. And what's next? What is the next, you know, step in pursuit of material satisfaction? Well, the ultimate exercise of power is the power over life and death. And whether it is these people have some kind of justification, like the planet is overcrowded, they very well may have that kind of justification. But the fact is, they will be, if not checked, committing mass murder.
Well, I just want
to
comment on that.
To accomplish their aims.
Yes, I asked you that question kind of tongue in cheek because I actually know the answer to the question. Henry Kissinger appeared before Congress in the late 60s, early 70s. I don't remember the exact year, but I have a copy of the transcript of his testimony where he testified that population reduction was a national security issue. And this is not just for the United States. This is of the entire world because these evil minions that are using all of the toxic types of things in our world, such as oil and gas. We've had Tesla technology for 100 years. We don't need power lines. We don't need oil. There's already all kinds of things that have been developed to purify the planet, cure all diseases, et cetera, et cetera. But you see, they don't make money on that. And so what they would rather do is just kill off a large amount of the population to make sure that there's enough to go around to those that they want it to go around to. Not to mention the fact that their ultimate goal, as they have talked about themselves, George Bush Sr. was in front of Congress on September 11th. Funny how that worked out, 1991. 10 years to the day before, you know, the Trade Towers went down by mysterious circumstances. And he talked about this new world order. So apparently the minions that control our world, some that we know their names, such as Rockefeller and Rothschilds and others, some we don't know their names, but they have this New World Order agenda in mind, and their goal is to create a global plantation on which we will be nothing more than slaves. And obviously, in order to accomplish that goal, they have to get rid of people who still can think and are not going to be willing to sit down and lick the boots of their masters, and are going to stand up and just say no. So that's the reason they're doing what they're doing. And I forgot to talk to you about this. Did you know about a law on the books, U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520 and 1524, which came out in the late 1960s, 1969, where they actually talk about using human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents by the Department of Defense, and using vaccination programs to do this. Did you know about that?
I do know about that.
Okay.
I have had people send me that as well.
Right.
It is very shocking.
Right. So, see, that's what people have to realize. Just like Hitler did, these minions are putting into print what they're doing. That's why the entire Congress is committing treason. They all know what's going on. There's no way they couldn't know what's going on. You know, they can use the excuse that they didn't read the Homeland Security and Patriot Act, but, you know, eventually people are going to be pointing out things to them. And I don't want to monopolize the conversation, but this has really gotten me, agitated to find out what they're doing with the water, because as you report under Section 817 of the Patriot Act, Congress has authorized a mass domestic depopulation program.
Well, that's exactly how it plays out, because what they have authorized in Section 817 is poisoning people, and that is what they have legalized. I have run 817 by a number of attorneys, and with the exception of one man who was behaving, you know, as a real Bush supporter, with one exception, all the attorneys said, oh my goodness, you're right. Mm-hmm. This is what they're doing. Because poisons, what do poisons do? Poisons kill people, okay? You don't take poison to make yourself healthy, wealthy, and wise. Poison is meant to terminate life.
Yes.
And if you look carefully at Section 817, what you see there, is essentially some very strange and upsetting language, which indicates to everyone who in the law profession who I run this by, that they are authorizing poisoning people to death. Now, Section 817 is essentially reading. Let's see. I'm just going to pull this up real quickly here. The language is that they are legalizing, under certain circumstances, peaceful, protective, prophylactic poisoning. Mm. Now, here, I've got it right here. Section 817, expansion of the biological weapons statute, and we move down to additional offense. Whoever knowingly possesses any biological agent, toxin, or delivery system of a type or in a quantity that, under the circumstances, is not reasonably justified by a prophylactic, protective, bona fide research, or other peaceful purpose, shall be fined, imprisoned, blah, blah. So what this says, with a little bit of doublespeak here, is that if it isn't reasonably justified, prophylactic means, of course, to stop, contain, protective, peaceful poisoning. So who are you protecting? And what does this have to do with a country that is founded on constitutional protections for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? What this does here is to blow it into smithereens. Because if somebody, and we're not sure who's reasonably justifying this, but if somebody thinks that you pose, obviously some sort of threat, then you get poisoned. Now, there is no mention in 817 as this being a consequence of a crime. This is not a lethal injection issue. This bypasses any kind of due process.
Yeah.
And when I began to look at this, I thought, well, maybe they're talking about a chemical and biological warfare against an enemy of the United States of America.
Right.
But you go a little bit farther down the section, and it has possession by restricted persons. And the restricted persons are people who cannot contain or possess or transport these poisons or biological agents. And when you read the list of restricted persons, you will see that we are not talking about a military operation. The restricted persons are people who are fugitives from justice, unlawful user of controlled substances, illegal alien. So any of these people could be people at the Department of Water and Power. So the restricted persons are basically, people who are already marginalized, people who have been adjudicated insane or criminals, et cetera.
I just want to add, Janet, because as I read in that excellent little blurb that you sent me, under their laws, they're basically also talking about whistleblowers, about anybody who's going to release this information to the public. Those are also people that are going to be considered a threat to the status quo. And so this is basically something that could be done to anyone that they want to do it to, and that's why I want you to explain how you uncovered these remote control water valves that they're installing. And God only knows how much they're spending, as we're fighting this fake war in Iraq because Saddam allegedly had weapons of mass destruction, and we're having valves installed on our water system so that they can poison us. And I just had an article in my local Charlotte Observer newspaper on 9/17 where now they're talking about building a $450 million level 4 biolab very near me here in North Carolina that's going to be playing around with pathogens, 10% of which have no known cures. So it's really amazing. While they're telling us, you know, the box cutters are coming and we have to be so afraid of those Muslims who, you know, are such a threat, and Osama bin Laden, although he's probably dead from renal failure for years now, but he's over there in a cave, you know, getting his beard dyed and, you know, putting out all these scary little videos. What's actually happening is that our own government is committing treason. That's what people have to realize. And I know this is scary, and I don't want you to get scared, folks, because there are higher forces at work here, and the Creator is bringing together the ones who have a backbone and who have a conscience so strong that they will not sell out no matter what it costs. Janet ended up homeless. I've lost my only child. Many other things have happened to me. But the point is that if you stand up for the truth, you will be protected. And we have to come together and face what's happening. We have to do something about this, because these criminals in the District of Criminals, as they're, you know, down there in Washington now debating how much did Bush ask for the next whatever, he wants another $200 billion for this fake war. It's getting ridiculous. And the good news is that so many people are waking up. And this is a matter of life and death. And I just want to point out one very important thing, because I always teach my clients about getting a water filter, you know, that you need to filter your water. And, of course, very few people even drink tap water at this point. But something that a lot of people don't realize is that the water that you bathe with, you actually absorb more toxins from that water than you do from drinking water. So what Jan is talking about, the system that they're putting in place to deliver these toxins, if you're drinking bottled water and you're bathing in the poison, it's still going to kill you. So you would actually have to get a water filter at the intake level of your house, because from what I understand, Janet, what they're doing with the pipes, this is happening like at the street level. Is that correct?
Right. And I want to say something about water filters.
Yes.
We don't know exactly what they're going to use.
No, we don't.
And there are filters, you know, that are carbon-based, that filter out organic, you know, and if we don't know what they're going to use, then, you know, our efforts to purchase an appropriate filter may not come to fruition.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so that needs to be made very clear.
Yes, I agree.
I'd like to spend a moment kind of discussing the basics of the system, and I want to tell the listening audience that there is a there is an article on the web. It is called Water as a Weapon. This was also published in the July issue of the American's Bulletin, and what you were reading, much of what you were reading in the promo was published in the September issue of the American's Bulletin, which is a newspaper in the Freedom Movement that is, it's a hard copy newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
It is not on the web, but Water as a Weapon is on a number of indie media sites, and you can read the article and see the documentation on the web. Now,
wait. So please tell the audience, since they don't have their paper published on the Internet, can they just put that title, Water as a Weapon, into Google, and then it will come up?
I believe, yes, it will come up. It is on Miami Indie Media. It's on a number of the different indie medias. But if you put in Water as a Weapon plus Indie Media, you'll be sure to find it.
Okay.
So, yes. So the basics of this system, there are several components that make this system the diabolical mechanism that it actually is. They have put in double lines in almost every street in the United States of America. And one of these lines carries water, and one of these lines is carrying something else. And the something else is being inhibited by valves. And when they are ready to deploy this, they will be able to open up the valves by remote control.
To selected people. I want to point this out.
Select.
See, that's the reason they're putting in the valves. If they wanted to just wipe out a whole city, they wouldn't be putting all these valves in. But the way that they're doing it, they're going to be able to deliver it to the exact homes that they want it to go to.
Exactly. This is a selective system.
Yeah.
And because obviously as a sociopathic and psychiatrically disturbed as the people are in power who would even conceive of doing this, they do not actually want to kill themselves. And so for that reason, you know, this particular system I believe was favored because it is extremely selective.
Yeah.
Only the houses that they want that house the families that they consider unacceptable or threats or misfits or useless eaters or whatever sort of selective process they're using, only those homes will be targeted by this system.
And I want to just mention something very important that you mentioned in your YouTube video, which was so excellent, is that, as we all know, this minion, President Bush, I mean, it's embarrassing to even call him that, but he's already written an executive order that if there's martial law in place at the time of next year's elections, he will remain king. Now, there's so many ways they've already gotten this all arranged. They can do this with the water, and, of course, they're going to say, oh, my God, you know, there's some terrorist that's, you know, gotten into our water system, and that will be an excuse. Or they can start giving the bird flu vaccine, which will cause the bird flu pandemic, and that will be an excuse. So there's many levels to this, and the one thing you can be sure of is that they're not going to say, oh, yeah, folks, we set this whole thing up, you paid for it, with your tax dollars. So there's many levels. It's not just decreasing the population, but it's doing it at the right time for them for whatever agenda that they want to carry out. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that they have a very detailed roadmap that they are working off of. And, you know, one of the primary things that they needed to do was they needed to lull the population into a false sense of security,
mm-hmm.
and which they have done through, you know, the promotion of America as the bastion of freedom and America as a land of opportunity and equality. And so they wanted us really to believe very strongly in the goodness and decency of this country. And then they needed to create an enemy. And this enemy, the terrorist, would be the adversary to this wonderful country that we have so much so, and to fill us so much with terror that we would be willing to surrender our rights.
Right.
And
well,
it is those rights that were put in place in the Constitution and Bill of Rights to protect us from the government.
Yes. Well, let's not forget the fluoride in the water. Fluoride is a element of Prozac. It is a mind control drug. They use it as an excuse to decrease tooth decay. It actually makes your teeth fall out. But that's one of the ways that they're also doing this. Of course, President Bush has also written legislation. You know, he's very interested in getting as many people drugged as possible and causing a chemical lobotomy. You know, they've got people watching the boob tube and getting all interested in, you know, all these reality TV shows. And there's so many levels to the onion that they're doing to get people to not pay attention to what's going on. But it's because of people like yourself that this information is getting out there. And I know this is very scary, but, you know, this is the difference between life and death. I agree with what you're saying about the water filters, but, for example, reverse osmosis is one filter where pretty much you're going to get most of the poisons out whether you know what they are or not. Of course, the people that have wells must be, you know, thanking their lucky stars right now because they're going to have to find another way to get those people. But
they have actually accessed an awful lot of the wells.
Oh, darn.
I was at, I had the perception. See, these guys aren't messing around. I mean, this I believe is one of their primary weapons here.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make sure that they've really got a kind of fail-safe system.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a water adjudication meeting up in Sandpoint, Idaho, a couple of months ago. It was in Sandpoint High School gymnasium, and it was simply full. They're going to be adjudicating all the water rights in North Idaho, which means that they will know exactly who is accessing water from where.
Wow.
And there was a lot of real concern among the citizens there at that meeting because nobody understands why this is necessary.
Yeah,
but one of the things...
Okay. Wait, I need to ask because this is very important because actually about 3 years ago, one of my clients on Long Island sent me a questionnaire that was sent home with her child that was in elementary school. And one of the questions they asked on this questionnaire was, do you have well water? And, of course, at that time, I'm thinking, what difference does that make?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious, what are they telling the public as to why they need to know who's got well water? What's their reason?
Well, I'll tell you about that, what I found out about that, because I asked the head guy for Idaho Water Rights was there at this meeting, and we had a question and answer period, and I did get to ask him, because I had heard rumors and otherwise that the wells had been GPSed. In fact, there was a big stir up in Idaho, I believe it was back around 2002, where there were town hall meetings in Kamei and other areas because agents of Idaho water rights and I believe also federal agents had been caught trespassing on private land for the purpose of putting GPSing on wells. Now, I did ask, his first name was Fred, and I don't have his last name right in front of me, but I did ask the head guy at IDWR whether the wells had been GPSed, and he answered in the affirmative that the wells all had GPSing on them. Now, my understanding is that the wells have been hooked up, most of them, to that other system. And I was looking just today. I ordered a manual. I'm looking at the American Water Works Association manuals rather carefully at this point in time, and there is a manual on dual water line systems, and it has one of their diagrams has a well, and the well is basically shown as being hooked up to the other system. So wells, I'm sure there are probably some wells that they have missed, but they are doing everything in their power to lock down the water. Now this is a very interesting kind of endeavor, because as we know, water and air are the most critical things to life on this planet.
And
you
food.
Simply can't go without them, and you can't go without air for a couple minutes, really. As a medical doctor, you probably can clarify that a little better. But water, I think 3 days, and you're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Schiavo did live, I believe, 12 days without water, which was absolutely phenomenal, because
mm-hmm.
it just, most people will simply not be able to survive that long. So by locking down the water and making water inaccessible, in ways that would make it, water as a support system for life, to make it, to bring the water down and damage the water in the ways that they are attempting to do, is essentially an attack not only on water but an attack on life itself.
I totally agree with you. And as I said in the beginning of the show, we have them spraying chemtrails. I had a client in Connecticut that was sitting on her lanai about 5 years ago and heard the planes overhead. And before long, she had a severe rash all over her body, and she knew about someone that had an energy testing device that was actually able to test her, found 6 different organisms on her, including flesh-eating strep. So that's another way that it's being done. And the inoculations, that is no joke, because they're destroying our immune systems. And, we don't know what they're going to be putting into the water. They can put chemicals. They can put different pathogens. There's so many things at their disposal that they can use. And you see, they have to be a little bit careful, because if they're going to put something that's going to cause, like, instant death, that's going to be a little obvious, unless they're going to try to say that, you know, Osama sent a box cutter to every water company in the country. You know, people aren't that stupid. There's still enough awakening people that are going to figure things out. So they have to be a little careful. As a general rule, they've been doing things, they've been killing us softly. They've been killing us slowly. You know, so it's not real obvious. People have all kinds of chronic diseases, and they go out and torture, and then, of course, the white coats finish them off. But it's usually not something where they're just dead instantly.
You know, it brings up an interesting point, and I don't know the answer to this. My gut feeling about this, and I sure may be wrong, is that at the point that this is deployed, the pretense that is the United States of America will be over.
That's when they're going to have their
mask off. Because at that point, I believe it might. One scenario is that the leader of the country will get on the airwaves to the remaining, you know, population and say, sorry, but we've got you on lockdown, and you step out of line, and you're not going to get any water.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an absolute possibility. It is also possible that they will attempt to continue the charade. I want to bring up something. In that movie, V for Vendetta,
oh, yeah,
that came out a couple years ago, there was numerous mentions in that movie to an attack that had happened on the populace prior to, you know, the events that unfolded in that movie. And that attack did happen through the water system, as, you know, that's what kind of jump-started the situation that we saw in that movie, V for Vendetta. It was an attack on the population through the water system. And it was done once again by the government, and they blamed it on, you know, on the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, it wasn't, you know, it was not, it was, that message wasn't hammered in the movie, but anyone going back to see that movie again will be aware that that was the premise from which the events took place. So,
well, I just want to mention, because the part that stuck out in my mind in that movie, because inoculations are my mission, was the woman who was killed at the end of the movie by V, because she had been involved in the experimentation on the people that were held in that camp, where she inoculated them with diseases because they were basically, you know, producing a biological warfare agent to use on the enemy. But the important thing to mention about these movies is that there's more truth in the movies than there is in the mainstream news. And, of course, what they're doing is they're telling us what they're doing. And this is a service, a notice and grace. In their corrupt sense of morality or whatever rules that the dark side lives by, they believe that as long as they're telling us what they're doing in any sense, then somehow they're going to be, you know, excused on some karmic level. I don't know how that works, but, you know, they're telling us what they're doing, so that's very important. But, of course, we're still waiting for V to come and help us out here. I thought I knew a V, but apparently he's busy doing other things. But it's very important for us to realize that we have to take our power back. And, of course, I always say, because I know the boys like to listen to my show, I do not promote a revolution, but what we need is an evolution of consciousness. Because once you shine a light on these minions, once enough people realize what's really going on, there's not going to be a place for them to go, unless maybe they want to go to the space coast and hop on one of those shuttles and go to another planet and carry on their evil agenda there. Once they're exposed, the party's over. And that's what we have to do, is to get enough people to wake up, to be healthy enough to open their eyes, first of all, and then to say to themselves, now let me see, what are my choices? I can get down on my knees and lick the boots of my master, or I can stand up and say, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. And once enough people do that, the party's over for them. And one of the examples that we had of that happening was a couple of years ago when Bush tried to force all emergency room personnel to get the smallpox vaccine. And a very small percentage of them actually went along with that program, Many of them died from heart attacks and other things like that, but they just wouldn't do it because they said to themselves, well, I don't have a problem with, you know, pushing this on my patients, but I'm not going to do it to myself. And once that happened, they just kind of let that plan go. So they can have all the plans that they want, but I'm also a very spiritual person, and I know that there's higher forces at work here, and who knows? You know, once that final switch is thrown, maybe there will be some kind of a reverse Zosky where the valves that are supposed to be open to people like us will remain closed, and their valves will be open. Who knows?
Well, I wouldn't bet on that one. You know, I mean, that would certainly be an act of God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The way, you know, I am totally on board with what you're saying, that our best endeavor right now is to expose them for what they're planning on doing. Now, I would like to take a second to go into some, you know, a little more detail here.
Yes.
Concerning the lies that are going on about this. I was able to get a gentleman, I'm using that term loosely, named Larry Chertoff on the phone a couple months ago. Larry Chertoff is apparently the cousin of the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff. Michael Chertoff also was one of the primary authors of the U.S. Patriot Act.
Mm.
Now, Larry Chertoff's claim to fame is he's one of the main water guys in the country. He is the managing director of the Water Industry Council of the National Council of Public-Private Partnerships, also the editor of the Water Industry News. He has had, I'm looking at his bio right now, more than 30 years' experience in developing public and private environmental projects. Work for the New York City's Environmental Protection Agency, and founded the Water Industry Council, now the Water Institute. He is now working for the Alinda Corporation, which is a water resources consulting firm. And he, I was able to get him on the phone to ask him a few questions.
Four.
Interestingly enough, his son, Ben Chertoff, was a senior editor at Popular Mechanics and was one of the prime movers and shakers behind an issue of Popular Mechanics that came out a couple years ago with the cover story debunking the conspiracy theories around 9/11.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, well, that Ben, at that point, apparently revealed that Michael Chertoff was indeed his cousin. This was checked on by Christopher Boleyn, and Christopher Boleyn was able to reach Larry Chertoff's ex-wife, Judy Dargan. She gave the affirmative. Well, when I reached Judy Dargan a couple years later and asked her that question, she said, I don't want to talk to you, and hung up.
Mm-hmm.
So the familial relationship between Larry Chertoff and Michael Chertoff is something that, at this point in time, people don't want to talk about. I also called the Department of Homeland Security and spoke to a woman named Laura Keener, that's right, in the Public Affairs Office, and asked her the questions about whether Michael and Larry were related. This had already been nailed down by Chris Boleyn, but I wanted to, you know, hear for myself, and she wouldn't answer the question. Now, if you pull up Larry Chertoff, because his picture is on the Water Industry .org site, and you look at him and you look at Michael Chertoff, they look like brothers. And that was, you know, Chertoff is not that common of a name. The familial DNA resemblance is overwhelming. But for some reason, nobody wants to cop to that one of the main water guys in the country is actually a relative of the head of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, why would that be?
Well, of course.
Now, when I spoke...
Wait, I just want to make a comment, because, of course, silence is basically admission of guilt. If they had nothing to hide, I'm shocked that you were even able to get them on the phone, but if they had nothing to hide, you know, they'd be happy to answer your questions, because, you know, that's what they're supposed to do when they're on all these different committees and organizations and stuff. And in your YouTube video, you'd also talked about this U.S. pipe company, which I had never heard about, was involved with the remote control water valves, and how two of their leaders are actually we're moved from the spy satellite industry to water. So obviously water is a big thing, but I just want to ask, I think I heard, do we have a caller?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay.
Hi, I'm listening in on the show and regarding what you're saying about water, and it reminded me of something I read in a book by a Russian author. And it's to make a long story short, or as short as possible, it's a woman who lives in the Siberian taiga, and she has these extraordinary abilities to really foresee the future, the past, just places all over the world. And so she tells him the way that 9/11 was supposed to be executed, and that they failed in really making a go-ahead of the entire plan. And I just want to read to you what she says with respect to what they wanted to do with the water. It says, 6 days prior to this, prior to the 9/11 attacks, 6 days prior to this, another group was to infect the water supply system in 20 major hotels. The plan was drawn up in such a way that it would be virtually impossible to trace the source of the infection and the location of the perpetrating agent. Each agent was supposed to take a room in one of the hotels, place a special device on the cold water tap, and open the tap. Instead of water flowing from the tap, the air pressure would force a deadly powder back into the whole system. After this, the tap would be shut off, and the following morning, the perpetrator would be making his way to a hotel in another city. The bacteria released into the water supply system would become glutinous upon contact with the water, sticking to the sides of the pipes, swell up, multiply, and flow downward. In 12 days, they would have proliferated a great deal. In an ordinary natural water setting, they would be incapable of proliferating. They would be destroyed by other bacteria. But such a balance is absent in an artificial supply system, where man has deprived the water of many of its natural properties. During peak consumption periods, when people would be washing themselves in the morning, for example, the water flow would cause a part of the bacteria to come loose, and contaminated water would come out of the tap. People washing themselves would feel nothing at first, but after 8 to 12 days, small abscesses would appear on their skin at an increasing rate. They would grow in size and suppurate. The disease would be highly contagious, highly infectious, and very difficult to cure, though the attack organizers possessed an antidote. A lot of people would be infected in many countries. Soon it would be discovered that these people had all stayed at hotels, but this would become evident only after the planes crashed. It pains me to talk about the wretched deeds to be carried out by the other perpetrators. The net result of all the acts of terrorism taken together were designed to produce a climate of panic and dread. Many people would begin leaving the country, taking their families with them. They would attempt to relocate their capital to banks in lands where they considered it less dangerous to live. But not every nation would agree to accept refugees from the USA. And it goes on a little bit more. But it's all very interesting. I read this, which is hearsay, and then I'm hearing something that's very real.
Well, I thank you so much for calling, and that's from the Anastasia series, which we've talked about on this show before. What particular book of the Anastasia series is that in?
This is the most recent that's been translated into English, which is book 6. And it's called The Book of Kin.
What's the title of it?
The Book of Kin.
The Book of what? Kin?
Kin, K-I-N.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for adding that information, and I highly recommend for everyone to read the Anastasia series of books. It's really very amazing what this woman who is in the Russian tundra knows because of her spiritual connection and what she's transmitted to this man that's writing these books. But as you're reading that, I'm also remembering, I'm sure anybody listening will remember a few years ago, the big problem that there was with Legionnaires' disease in the hospitals, and especially VA hospitals, and how this was somehow related to the air conditioning system. So as I'm hearing all this information, I'm remembering back, and you know that this was some kind of a test. they're constantly doing their little tests to see what they can pull off and how they can pull it off, because, of course, air conditioning systems also involve water, so that would be another way for them to pull out their dastardly deeds, because if you're breathing the stuff, because a lot of people don't drink the water, and even if you're bathing, you know, you may not get enough toxins, especially if you have a filter and you're just lucky and you have the right filter on your shower or whatever. So by breathing this stuff, you would also be affected. So it's huge. It's just amazing. But, Janet, please do continue what you were talking about with Mr. Chertoff and his wife.
Yeah.
And I guess she realizes that she's sleeping with the enemy.
This is his ex-wife.
Oh, his ex-wife.
She's no longer sleeping with the enemy.
Oh, but she still doesn't want to talk about him. I guess she's afraid she's going to get some bad water.
Oh, that's very funny. Well, one of the things in my conversation with Larry Chertoff, I told him, you know, I'm finding these double line systems, and I'm, you know, confused about what this is all about, Mr. Chertoff. And this is what he told me. He said, we don't have double line systems in this country. He said, we need to have more water lines, but we don't have these. So I sent him the blueprints, the ones that I sent you today. I sent him those, which clearly delineate the double line systems. At that point in time, Larry Chertoff fell silent.
Mm-hmm.
And would not return calls, would not return emails. So he tried to put a fast one over on me, and it didn't work. Now, I'm seeing the same situation now here in Medford, Oregon, where I live now and working with the American Bulletin. And I had a conversation with a city engineer who works in the parks department and who's, you know, working pretty heavily on water issues. And he was telling me, oh, no, we don't have double lines. We don't have double lines. Well, he says, well, there are a couple streets in town where we have transmission lines, but we don't have double lines. And I went, and he said, look, you can go down to the Water Commission, and all of the blueprints and all the plans are there on the web, and you can look at them and copy them off.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, our colleague.
What is that?
But wait a minute. He's saying we have transmission line. What the hell is a transmission line?
Oh, no. Well, transmission, sometimes, you know, that's what they're called. That's sometimes they're just calling this a transmission line.
Transmitting what?
Well, you know, maybe they want to take the water across town so they can, you know, wash it or something. I don't know. Anyway, but really, we do not have double line systems. Well, I was on my way to work today, and I was walking to work, and I saw on the street, because I pay attention now to infrastructure and denotations of infrastructure, and about a block away from our office, it looked like they had either recently done or were planning on doing street work, because the street was marked up. Now, I also now understand, you know, what the markings, blue is always water. And lo and behold, on Alice Street, they had two water lines delineated by their blue lines. Two of them.
Mm.
Now, this man, and he actually goes to the same church I go to. I don't know what that's about, but we don't have them. So I hightailed it back over to the Water Commission office. And I pulled up the blueprints because they got them for the entire city. They're on the web. And I pulled them up for Alice Street. And we don't see those two water lines. Now, just yesterday when I was first in the office, I had the opportunity to speak with the head engineer for the Water Commission. His name is Eric Johnson. And I was looking at the blueprints, you know, and there's like just no double lines. I said to him, I said, the blueprints are inaccurate, and he almost bellowed at me. They are not. Well, we have here, and I did take pictures of the markings on Alice Street. We have delineated two water mains. But according to the blueprints that the city is making available to the public, they're not there. So what are we to believe? We have too many lies.
Well, I just have to comment on that word believe, because there's a lie in the middle of the word belief, and you're not believing anything. You're knowing it because you're actually finding the documents. And I can't wait to meet you, because I'm smiling to myself. You sound just like me as I contacted the CDC. who claimed that there was nothing such as vaccine-induced diseases. And then through the grace of God, I found the actual document that talks about vaccine-related illnesses, disabilities, and conditions that cause death. So, you see, they can say whatever they want, but their own documents prove what they're really doing. And that's why they get so nervous. Not only that you're confronting them, you know, you're standing, speaking truth to power, but they're also saying to themselves, doesn't this woman know that we're going to have to give her a problem if she doesn't shut up? You know, they can't believe that people like us would have the backbone to do what we're doing. And the thing
I'll just tell you, Dr. Carley, they've given me some problems.
I know they have.
And I'll tell you something. I would rather live the life I'm living as peculiar and problematic and endangered as it has become than to be sitting in the office at the Water Commission and putting false blueprints up on the web and lying to people. Because when I go to bed at night, I fall asleep in
two minutes.
I have nothing on my conscience that is eating me alive.
Right. And I will bring that to the next level, because I oftentimes say, I would rather have them put a gun to my head and shoot me between the eyes than live in the world in which they're creating. That is how I feel, because I know I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to finally get a vacation when that happens, if it happens. I have absolutely no fear. That's the biggest gift that I've received from my 10 years, you know, doing what I'm doing. And that's what other people have to realize. If they carry out these plans on all levels of what they're planning on doing, your children, I mean, I can't even imagine what their world is going to be like. Why are you even having children? What is the point? If you're not going to stand up for the truth and do whatever your little part is, and only your spirit can tell you what your part is. Maybe it's just to tell others, send a blast to everyone on your list, to listen to the archives of this show and other shows on this network. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night I'm going to be a guest on The Spiritual Politician at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this very network. I'm talking more about inoculations. But the point is that there's so many people coming out of the woodwork, the people of light that are telling the truth. And all you have to do, if you're too afraid to get involved yourself, just help spread the word and tell people where they can get the information. Because not only will the truth set us free, it will save your life. If you're not aware of these things going on, you won't do anything to protect yourself, and you won't even have a clue as to, you know, when you take a shower and all of a sudden you start getting sick or whatever the case may be. I've got a creek very near to me. I mean, I'll just go lay in the creek. I don't care. But it's just really amazing the levels to which they've gone and what they must be spending on this, not to mention, you know, monitoring the people that are speaking the truth. And, my God, our country could be such a rich country. Of course, the Federal Reserve, the fraud, and that's another whole show. But just the amount of money that they're spending to kill us. Forget the war in Iraq. It's just amazing. What could this possibly cost to put dual water lines into every home in America?
I'd like to say, you know, we can take our country back. Because at this point in time, our lives are at risk by those who have pledged to serve us.
Yeah.
As our public servants, as people in the government. But it is not that complicated. Now, I the video that is up on the web, on Google and YouTube, We Are Not Safe, you can download the video, you can share it with your friends, and if you don't have the facility to download it, I've got extra copies. You can contact me, and I have developed, along with Melinda Pillsbury Foster, whose show you will be on tomorrow, some organizing materials. We can bring this into the communities. You can get a little room at the library. They're usually free. You can watch. You can bring in people, watch the video, and start to grassroots organize around this.
Exactly.
We can do this, but we have to step up to the plate. And I want to urge those who might be frightened to understand that the true fear is if you don't step up to the plate. Because if these people go through with their plans, the country that will be left will not be worth living in if you happen to survive this.
I totally
so
agree.
I want to give my email address
yes,
and my phone number.
Do.
I've had a little problem with the email lately, but I'm
what a surprise.
I'm going to give it out, but the phone number works.
Okay.
And so I'll give my phone number first. It is area code 310-755-4469. That's 310-755-4469. And if you would like a copy of the video, if you'd like the organizing materials, please do call me, and I will get these to you. My email address is just basically my name. It is Janet C. Phelan at yahoo.com.
And please spell
and
Phelan. Please spell Phelan.
Yeah, I will spell Phelan. Well, Janet, J-A-N-E-T, then C as in cat, and Phelan is P as in poison, H as in hell, E-L-A-N as in Nancy.
Okay.
Janet C. Phelan at yahoo.com.
Okay. And is there any website that has the blueprints that you sent me and things of that nature?
The blueprints I sent you today, which are the newest and the clearest copies, are not up on the web. There is the September issue of the American Bulletin does have one of those blueprints.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need to get them up on the web so people can see how clear they are. There was some concern that some of the blueprints I had were fuzzy. These are not fuzzy, and you
no,
can very
not.
Clearly see you've got double lines that are cross-connected.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, cross-connecting potable and unpotable water is illegal.
Hello.
And son of a gun, they went and did it.
Well, they're in violation of the Nuremberg Code. They're breaking every law, every moral code. I mean, it's just, it's pure evil. It's pure evil, but it's darkest before the dawn. And I want to thank you so much, Janet, for being on my show to find a reporter who speaks the truth. You see, all these things that are happening, it's just showing me that we are forming an army of people as we expose not only what you're exposing, but the fact of what happened to you because you exposed it proves that the media is the fourth branch of government. People have to stop listening to the evening news and start to do their own research and check things out for themselves, because the truth shall set us free. And I know that we are going to take care of business. If I didn't know that, I would have just, you know, run my car into a tree many years ago when they took my only child. I'm doing what I'm doing because I know in my heart that we will be victorious, that the truth will win out in the end. And these minions, there is no place good enough for them in hell. My vision is to build a glass prison someplace in the desert and let them just be there under the sun and let people file by 24/7 and ask them hard questions. Of course, we're going to have to build such a big prison. That's going to be the problem, but I'm sure we'll find a way. So we're kind of out of time. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Do keep in touch with me, and I encourage all the listeners to contact Janet and get this information and just do with it as your spirit leads you to do, because this is your life. Water is something you have to be alive. So God bless you, Janet. I'm sending you a big hug, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Okay, good night.
Good night.